about an angel like a baseball card. You learn about the player, you see his stats. No. No, but they tell you how to contact the angel, which is dangerous. I mean, they ought to just say, legal and illegal drugs serve as conduits to angelic messages. A lot of people, when they talk to angels, it's because they're on dope. And it's not always, I said legal and illegal. It's, sometimes it can be medications your doctor prescribed for you if it puts you in an altered state of mind. Now watch it. Read those lyrics so you know what I'm talking about. That's a big hit, Black Crowes. Trying to be nice. Christians listened to that song thinking they were hearing something that was Christian. That's how totally void of any sense of discernment many Christians I know are. She communicates with angels while tripping on heroin. That's what the song's about.
She talks to angels, you know, about a girl that I kind of knew in Atlanta, who was a goth girl who was into heroin.
Not a Christian song, but even if it wasn't about somebody on heroin, how can a Christian not know that you're not supposed to talk to angels? Right. How could you think that's a Christian song? I know Christians who think Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin's a Christian song. Jenny will tell you, one of the most popular preachers outside of evangelical Christianity in the world of the emergent church. I'm not even going to say his name. But we watched the first part of a documentary he put out where he's complaining about people like us. We're the problem. And he spent several minutes at the very beginning of this documentary about us telling how much he loved Leonard Skinner. I mean, not Leonard Skinner.
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, it would have been a Christian film if it said Leonard Skinner. I'm just kidding. But Leonard Skinner's nothing like Led Zeppelin. Leonard Skinner had some drinking songs and stuff like that. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page bought Aleister Crowley's mansion and he's into black magic. They wrote the lyrics mostly about the occult. Which way is Jesus going to return? Well, but he's coming from one direction. No. He's from the east. There's a feeling I get when I look to the west, and my spirit is crying for leaving. He wanted to get away from Jesus. That's Stairway to Heaven. I just figure one of these days I'm going to walk up on Christian who thinks Highway to Hell is in the hymn book. That's how bad it's getting. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and what? And idolaters. Yeah, how many times you see those go together like that? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, here you go from the old Greek dictionary. Pharmakeias, translated that word, sorcerer. Pharmakeias. It's a drug, i.e. spell-giving potion. But look what the rest of it says there. It's not just illegal. It's not just buying something off the street from Chico. A druggist. Pharmacist. And then by extension, it says poisoner. By extension, a magician. Why? Because magic works best when the people who are watching you are high. They get people high and do this stuff and it freaks them out. Like, whoa. Wow, did you see that, dude? That's, of course, comedians like that, too. Their jokes are funnier.
In there too.
Excuse me?
Warmonger was like
also basically in that three sec, the verse you just showed?
Yeah, yeah, and sexual, yeah, sexual deviancy usually goes hand in hand with drug abuse. Yeah. So, when you're dealing with, we just have to lay this out and get this settled. When you're dealing with anybody on this earth, any human being you confront, they either have the Holy Spirit or an unholy spirit in them. Because if they don't have the Holy Spirit, all other spirits are unholy.
Yeah. Amen.
The only thing that makes you holy is the Holy Spirit in you. Before you're saved, you had nothing but an unholy spirit, a sinful nature. You were a child of wickedness and wrath. And it's hard for people to get. You can't deal with people intelligently if you're not willing to deal with them realistically. And when I sure, how many hear this? You should always see the good in everyone. You're contradicting God. The Bible says there's none good. And even a Christian, if he's not filled with the Holy Spirit and living for the Lord at that moment, you're looking at somebody who's given over to their unholy spirit, their unholy natural sin nature. But do you realize that garbage has been taught in evangelical and fundamentalist churches for years and years and years? See the good in everybody. No. Do them a favor. And it helps to confess. Tell them. But you got to start by getting them unsaved. They have to understand they're lost. And you start by, and you can, like I said, admit it to, hey, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal above you. I was a wicked, good-for-nothing sinner who deserved to go to hell. And the only reason I'm going to heaven now is because of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
And you are a wicked sinner who deserves to go to hell. And the only reason you'll go to heaven is if you accept what Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen.
But people don't want to hear that. They want to be told, you're wonderful the way you are. You're so wonderful. God died to save you because He just had to have you. That's how it's being preached. People are preaching it that way. That's not the biblical gospel. A lot of guys, when they start off preaching the gospel, they say, you have worth. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God created man originally but with worth, but now you're fallen, you're lost, you're wicked, and you know what you're worth? Throwing into hell. But join the club. You can come down to my church, and everybody in there is the same. Was in the same boat as you before they received Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You can say that to all these wicked sodomites. They'll come up to you and talk to you and say, "You just think you're better than everybody." No. Don't throw that on me. I don't think I'm worth anything. I think I deserve. I should be in hell right now. That'll throw them. I tell you, it throws them because they think they know what Christianity is. They don't realize that we all believe we. I mean, if you're a Bible believing Christian, I believe everybody here is. That includes Momo. He's got more sense than a lot of Christians, I believe. And you know what? You believe you are a lost sinner who's saved by grace. Amen?
Amen.
So next time some flaming liberal comes yelling and foaming at the mouth and everything, I stop him and say, well, I should be in hell burning right now. I'm only saved because I received the free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. He'll save you too. Scripture was... Jesus clears up the question of worship very clearly for us, and that's where we're going to start in Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Who's got that one?
Dad.
Dad, can you read that?
Sure can.
It's on.
Hello?
You're on.
Okay, Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, For it is written, thou shalt love, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Does that leave any stone unturned? Just worship God.
Amen.
Now, we're not going to go into detail. I just want you to understand that anything you do that is an act of reverence and adoration, which would include prayer, include singing songs to that person, adoring, I said adoration, any of those things are worship. And you're only supposed to do that for God. And if you think about it, I'm sure you know there's a lot of people who do those things for Mary, the other saints, angels. The Hindus have their millions of gods. I think God thinks that about all these people who every day are adoring all the Hollywood weirdos. You know, all the entertainment and music people that they just follow them like. I know most of them that I've known are like that. They don't read the Bible much. They don't really follow the Lord, but they got all this time and effort to follow all the weirdos in Hollywood and all the music stars and all that. That's awful close to just being worshipful toward those people. If it's created, it is to worship God alone. So that's the easy answer. Flip side, the B side to the 45 there. The B side is, or A side is, you only worship God. B side is, if it's created, it's not worthy of worship.
That's right.
So let's let Mary, by the way, never vice versa. Romans 1, 22 through 25.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So anything created that you worship, God tells you what He thinks about it right there. And like we said many times, homosexuality isn't what brings the judgment of God on a nation. Homosexuality and the whole gay rights, sodomite stuff is the judgment of God. Angels are created beings, and we are not to worship the created, only the Creator. Jesus clears up the question of worship. I think that was supposed to say something else, and I forgot to change it. Revelation 22, 8 and 9, Jessica.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God.
She's basically saying, I'm just like you. I'm created. Worship God. Holy angels do not allow anyone to worship them. See, if you're worshiping an angel, and you're praying to that angel, or burning in a candle and adoring, or whatever it is, if it's a holy angel, it won't receive it. Biblical communication by holy angels. This is how it works. We pray to God.
Amen.
Okay? This is how it starts. And I don't know why my thing isn't working. God sends an angelic dispatch. Now, I believe that happens all the time. We just don't see it. Amen? We've studied that before. And what? Angels rarely verbally respond. So we pray, God will send His angels, but they will rarely ever talk to you. That's important to get. Angels never respond to human-initiated communication. You won't find a single place in the Bible where a human called out to angels and they responded. It's always you pray to God. He'll send the angels. Most of the time you won't even know what they're doing or when they're there. Rarely he will have an angel speak. And if an angel does respond to your initiated communication, it's a fallen angel. If you ever call out for an angel and it responds, better run. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Here's one prime example when an angel visited Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 10, 9 through 12. Charlie, got that?
Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words.
So he's speaking to God here. Daniel speaks to God, and then the angel is dispatched. And this is one of those rare occasions where he did then talk to Daniel. God heard Daniel's prayer and dispatched the angel. That's the order. There isn't a single example of God's people initiating communication with angels, as I already said. Angels are ministers and not to be ministered unto. If an angel, people say they see a light, they think it's an angel, and it says, do this for me. That, and the same thing would be true if God were to send a saint back. You know, when Moses and Elijah came and Peter offered to build tabernacles, what'd they do? Ignored him. Remember that? But these Marian apparitions, Mary shows up and she tells them to do this and to pray to her and to love her immaculate heart and all this stuff. Never, never the way the angel in the Bible works. So Hebrews 1, 6 and 7 and then 13 and 14, Olivia.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See how clear it is? Even when ministering to saints, they are serving the will of God. They're not responding to the desire of the saint. They're serving the will of God. And they're the ministers. They're not being ministered unto. All of our prayer is to be directed toward one person. Jim, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Of course, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We're never told to communicate with anyone in heaven except for God. Amen?
Amen.
Just yesterday or day before, somebody in the BBF media shared a post from another social media site where this woman was saying, people are always saying that Catholics worship Mary and the saints. And we don't. And that was her answer. And the response is you pray. First of all, that's you don't even have to talk about the other things. You pray to Mary. You pray to the saints. That's an act of worship. And the Bible says you're only to pray to God. And then they'll give you this reason. Well, we believe that by reaching Mary, we have a better chance of getting the word through to Jesus so he can go to the Father. Because you know what it's like. This is what I've had to do. And you actually find this explanation in Catholic books. You know how it is when you really wanted something from your dad, you'd go to your mom first. My dad, I'll admit that probably was a few times I went to mom and mom talked dad into something. I love my dad, but he's not God the Father. And he has told me I don't need to go through any mother. I can approach him because of Jesus. Why would you trade that off for having to go through Mary or, you know, some saint? It doesn't even make sense. It's because of they're of the flesh. People of the flesh do fleshly things. Sounds spiritual. Oh, he prays to Michael and he prays. I mean, I think it was in the elevator they prayed to St. Jude. And why not just pray to Jesus? It's just a very maddening thing, but God keeps things simple. Amen? Actually, we should say, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God keeps things simple?
Yes.
We don't have to go through all this, you know, these religions always come up with all these steps and all this rigmarole you have to go through. And God's come down in the person of Jesus Christ and said, this is how you reach the Father, is through the Son. If you any man comes through the Son, he'll reach the Father. He says it different ways, and it's always the same thing he's saying. He says it different ways. Kept it so. And Paul said that he feared for the Corinthians that they would be removed from that simplicity. By what? By all this religion. And I've talked to so many people who are so impressed with religion. And if they come to a church like ours, that's what they don't like about it, is it's too simple. It's too basic. Why? Because they're of the flesh. And they want to feed that flesh. They want the experiences. They want to feel. You want to feel something. And when you know, they love looking around and seeing the art and the statues and the incense burning and, you know, the chanting. And that never appealed to me. Well, and that's another version. That's the charismatic idea, you know, that the charismatics go and they want all that other experience. But it's always, you know, getting away from the simplicity of the Scripture, it's always, they think it's spiritual, but it's not. It's physical. It's flesh. They're feeling something in their human body, their human emotions. And we avoid error with simple obedience to God's Word. Amen? So that ends our series on angels in the spirit world. And I think we have 17 studies.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Your heaven's not my home. Join their band and live eternally. Feel at home in